On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was growing up, I loved church. Loved church. I never wanted to miss it. In fact, Karen Smith said to me, "Maxine says, get up. We have to go to church." That was me. I like Maxine. I always wanted to be there. I grew up in the United Church of Christ in Cleveland, Ohio. And there were things I remember about it. To this day, I can see the detail. Because it was Trinity United Church of Christ, there were clovers everywhere, you know, three-leaf clovers all around the sanctuary. It was a church that was about this size. And everyone knew me, and I knew everyone, because we were always there. Our social life, everything about our lives revolved around the church. I loved the community. I had lots of aunties and uncles, mostly aunties and grandmas, who would tell me to stop. But mostly not. Mostly we did kind of what we wanted. There were Advent workshops where we made beeswax candles and bells that were shaped, you know, made out of sugar. We had plays. We had all kinds of things. The potlucks were great. I was a fussy eater. All I ate was bread and dessert. Pretty much like the kids now. It was a safe place. But one of my favorite memories of church growing up was running through the church. Running up and down the stairs and playing hide and go seek. It was the best building in the world to have fun in. And I loved it there. But during the summer, when I visited my grandparents in West Virginia, we would go to their church. My grandmother and grandfather were Southern Baptists. So we went to a small country church where the minister, dressed in his black with his collar, Bible in one hand, and his handkerchief in the other to wipe off the sweat that he worked up when he screamed at us. He shook the Bible. He wiped himself off. He screamed at us some more. He turned red as a beet. I always thought he was going to explode. And it was the fear on the people's faces, that and the fact that if you were in the front, he would spit on you when he was screaming. The whole experience was very different than what I was used to. And I always looked at the people and wondered, how could they sit there through this fearful time where he told them all the things they were doing wrong? Me too, but of course, I mostly ignored him. I was pretty much just excited about watching how what was happening to the other people, including my grandparents. And I didn't understand how this fear was supposed to help us. I've always believed, and I think most people would agree, that fear doesn't motivate people anywhere near what joy does. Now, my mother used to say, you can catch more flies with sugar than with vinegar. And that's kind of how I thought the difference between the church that I belong to and the church that my grandparents belong to. Church, I think, should be a place that is full of joy and celebration. And I'm even going to go out on a limb here and say that church should be fun. Fun. I mean, that's not a word that my parents would have described. They wouldn't have said, our church is fun. But it was fun for me, and I never forgot how much fun I had there. The story from John today takes place on the third day of a 7-day celebration. Now that's a wedding. You went to the groom's house and you celebrated and had a feast for 7 days. And on the third day of that wedding, of those days, the actual wedding took place. And in our story, as Brandon told the children, they ran out of wine. And that's a crisis for any of the families who are hosting. That's a sign of hospitality. I mean, you've got 4 days to go, and there's nothing to drink. So Jesus, prompted by his mother, and that's a different sermon, decides to fill the jars, and he turns the water into wine, making somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons of good wine. And now the best wine's been served, and the party keeps going. The servants know what happened. The steward is amazed, and it says the disciples believed in him. Everyone there had a sense that this joyous event had been saved. Now, I know that some of you grew up in churches that were very serious places, and that when you are downstairs at potlucks and you see the kids running up and down the ramp, it unnerves you a little bit. But I have to tell you, I used to get lost in my church hiding. And I got lost from the church when I got to be an adult. And I walked away from the church for a few years. And when I started to struggle with coming back to the church and what that meant, what I believed, I remembered all those years that I spent at Trinity United Church of Christ. And I did remember the fellowship, and I sort of remember the preaching. I remember the Advent workshops, and I remember running up and down the stairs and playing games with total abandon because it was my home. It was where I wanted to be. The church sometimes forgets that Jesus once attended a wedding feast and said yes to gladness and joy. Turned water into wine to point us to a God who loves to hear the laughter of people celebrating people. When I sat in that country church all those years again, listening to my grandparents' pastor, I was certain that they had forgotten the joy of their faith. I certainly thought that the pastor had no joy in his life. And I longed to be in a place where God was love and fear was not used as a tool to keep me from doing something. I did find my salvation at Trinity United Church of Christ, where the laughter of children was everywhere, where we did a play and we were Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I was Mary, singing Puff the Magic Dragon, which I'm pretty sure no one in the church knew what that meant. Or I'm pretty sure even the liberal United Church of Christ, we would not have been singing that song. But I remember having on a white wig, and I was Mary, singing Puff the Magic Dragon in the fellowship hall. Now that's a memory. It's a memory that brought me back to church. When religion becomes just a day and place and is separated from everything else in our lives, it becomes irrelevant. It becomes inconsequential. It really does, if it's just this moment at this time. And the sign at Cana tells us that Jesus served a God who put joy into all life. and who thinks that it is worth a miracle to keep the party going. God, I do not believe, wants our religion or our lives to be too holy to be happy in. You know, throughout his life and his ministry, Jesus celebrated with people, always with people. People getting married, people being healed of disease, people enjoying a meal together. He did that a lot. He carried the spirit of celebration with him wherever he went, and all the while he was proclaiming God's mercy, God's peace, God's forgiveness, God's joy. And I just think that this wonderful text that comes up in the lectionary every 3 years, and you kind of, oh, which door am I going to take in today? It just says that there was a joyous feast at Cana, and it's still a sign to the church that we should be celebrating the amazing good news of grace, Cana grace. Now, when I was writing this sermon this week, I heard the expression in my head, timing is everything. And I came to wonder for a moment if I shouldn't take this sermon and shelve it for another time. A time when the pain in the world wasn't so enormous, when we weren't living with the reality of the Haitian people. But as I sat at my dining room table writing, on CNN came this story, and they showed the image of the women singing in the streets of Haiti, walking through the streets, and they said they were mainly Catholic women. There were some men, but it was mainly women. People of faith singing their hope in the midst of their greatest tragedy, and they have seen many tragedies. Cana grace. The kind of grace that I received at Trinity United Church of Christ is the joy of my faith that has carried me through the darkest moments of life. These women were singing their hope in the darkest moment of their life. Christ offered Cana grace. This, brothers and sisters, tells us this, that we belong to a faith where you don't have to BYOB. You don't have to bring your own bottle. To follow Christ is to be part of a community of faith such as we have here. And it means that we belong to a faith where the bottles are overflowing, full of joy. And the story said, and when Jesus did this, his disciples believed in him. Christ is our joy. And that means the joy and celebration for us to know Christ needs to remain central to our lives, no matter what is happening all around us. And the church should be a place where we come and we celebrate that and we feel the joy of that, so that we can stay grounded in God's grace through the knowledge of Jesus Christ through all the moments of our life. And I don't know about trying to teach you to fear God. I think that when we use fear to help us change, we change maybe a little for a while. But it isn't sustaining. It isn't like the joy of knowing God that we strive for in our faith. And when we live out of fear, it also means that we're not living into the promise of God. Cana grace is present in everything that we do here. It's in the words and the music and the prayers. It's in the classes and the committee meetings and the potlucks, and in the squealing children who are running on the ramp in the fellowship hall. I know they can get hurt, you've told me. I tell them to slow down. But there's two or three that if they're not running up and down that ramp, they're simply not happy. And what do you think they're going to remember in those years where they start to doubt whether the church is meaningful to their lives?
Those years where we become an adult and suddenly we take a philosophy class, that's what happened to me, and all of a sudden none of it doesn't make any sense anymore and we have to take a step back. Or something happens in our life and we say, I don't know what I believe. They're not going to remember what Brandon said. They're sure not going to remember what I said, but they're going to remember that they used to go to potlucks and run up and down the ramp. And they'll come back because church was a joyful and wonderful place. This is the joy that flows from knowing our God. And we experience it in so many different ways here. It is a joy that will sustain us when we have to do the hard work of the kingdom, like responding to the tragedy in Haiti. Responding not out of fear of what we might lose, but to respond with gratitude for what we will gain. To respond with the same extravagant abundance that we hear in this wonderful story from John. This is how Jesus' ministry began in the Gospel of John, with a sign that manifests all that wonderful Cana grace. The same God who even now wants the community of faith to be a celebration of people by people, and to embrace the joy of our faith constantly in the midst of tragedy. That means that we embrace the knowledge that we have nothing to fear, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. May the church claim the Cana grace of joy and celebration. And may the people of Haiti inspire us to sing in the streets in the hour of our darkness that God is with us and that hope is alive. Amen.